time for a weekly focus on health, brought to you by Radio Mirai in collaboration with the World Health Organization and partners. So today we turn our attention to Upper Nile State, where communities are facing increasing threats from seasonal floods. And our topic is enhancing public health resilience to floods in Upper Nile State, and so integrated strategies for preparedness, emergency response, and risk reduction. Joining us from Malakal now is Dr. Emmanuel Timothy Toll, the State Coordinator for the World Health Organization. And you're most welcome to Radio Mirai this morning, Dr. Emmanuel.
Good morning. Good morning, South Sudan. Good morning, Radio Mirai. With me also here, Dr. Isaac Kwongo, Director General for State Minister of Health. So I would also like to welcome him.
Yes, Please, Dr. Isaac, welcome to Radio Mirai.
Thank you, Radio Mirai.
Yes, let's go right away. Let's begin with a broader picture. You know, want to understand how has flooding in Upper Nile State evolved over the years, and what are the risks that communities currently face in terms of displacement, in terms of the public health, and also access to basic services?
Yes, thank you very much, colleague. And Upper Nile has been known as area of flood, and on seasonal basis, we have been having a lot of incidents of flood. But going back to 2019 onwards, a good example of last year only, 2024, we have a report of 735,000 people across South Sudan, in which Upper Nile State was among the high affected state. And looking only at areas, for example, like Tunga, where last year around 5,700 individuals were displaced. In Nasir, around 6,000 were displaced. Also, we have displacement that have been reported in areas such as Mayut, Panyekan, Melut, and Makal, including Nasir. So this briefly the situation of the displacement and the impact of flood for last year. However, when looking at the health impact, we had been severely interrupted, or the services that have been provided by the Minister of Health and the partner and its partner had been severely disrupted. And a good example that we have an increase of diseases and illnesses that has been reported. And as we talk today, you are aware that we have issues to do with cholera, measles, hepatitis E, among other public health related or concern, plus an upsurge of malaria.
Yes, Dr. Isaac, I would like to understand, how has the floods disrupted the health service delivery across Upper Nile State? And tell us also, what measures are being taken now to ensure there is continuity of care, protect the health infrastructure, and also maintain the critical services during emergencies like that?
Thank you. You are right. The flooding has really devastated a lot of activities in the state. As my colleague Dr. Emmanuel have put it, it had a lot of impacts in terms of health, and even most of our populations, as he have said, has been displaced from their areas which have been mentioned. But in terms of health, our common problem has become the issues of outbreaks of diseases, including cholera and other waterborne diseases, acute watery diarrhea. These are the issues that we really face from year to year. And also we have a lot of difficulties in terms of safe drinking water, and also all the hygienic issues. Everything was disrupted, and agriculture also is disrupted, and our populations have been moving from place to place. Some are coming from northern Jungle to Upper Nile, and it has caused a lot of unnecessary overcrowding, which also brings with it along a lot of diseases. So these are what we always experience. Our worry is that, as you have heard in the beginning, that this flooding has been going for almost the last 6 years, and the worst of it, when the new rainy season comes, the water is still on the ground. And this is what makes us worried much. And we are happy also the government of the state is always engaged with in response to flooding. And we as the Minister of Health and our partners implementing health in the state, we are always prepared for these issues, although they outweigh sometimes our efforts. Thank you.
Yeah, you talk about you are always prepared. I would like to understand much more about the operational readiness of your team and talking about the supply chain logistics and the workforce mobilization. I mean, how is this taking path?
Yes, exactly. We are always prepared in terms of our plans to mitigate such floods when they happen. And also we make ourselves that we are ready in terms of procurement of essential medicines and also in terms of nutrition, because nutrition is also part of health. We and the partners involved in nutrition, including World Food Program, we are always ready so that with the flood we can even respond. Now we are in the malaria season. Even we are making sure that all the drugs preposition should go to our bus 13 states across the counties across the state.
Yeah, all thank right. You. To Dr. Emmanuel, I would like to understand how the disease surveillance is being scaled up in order to detect and also, I mean, to respond to outbreaks as early as possible.
Yes, thank you very much. We our strategy of intervention is cut across. It's actually multi-sectorial and multi-cluster intervention. Here we are talking about health as one of the most affected clusters and also leading preparedness, response, and mitigation of the impact. But also we worked in collaboration and coordination with other important cluster like nutrition, wash, and protection, and others. However, going back to your questions in regard to disease surveillance and our preparedness methodology and strategy, it's that we worked with we have a routine system of surveillance that we call integrated it's IDSR, which is integrated surveillance and response. But also we have EWRS that is that works on an emergency, and number one is strategy to boost our capacity to respond adequately respond to rumors or alerts of diseases. It's number one to establish community based surveillance mechanism, in which Boomer Health Initiatives and community leaders, community members are part of alert system. Number two, that we are also engaged in training and capacitating the local RRT, and which is stand for Rapid Response Teams, that we are training them so that they are able to be deployed immediately within 24 hours to go and investigate the cases and also give us a clue about health and humanitarian status of the affected population. And we also embarked on training of health cadres in health facilities and at Boomer's level. Lastly, we also developed 3 Ws to see who is working where and which community has been affected, what are the gaps. And these are the basic key intervention that we do. However, it comes together with early prepositioning, as the Director General has mentioned, of the medical supplies and emergency kits to the flood affected or flood-borne counties. Nevertheless, we have other interventions that worth mentioning here, which is to do with psychosocial and mental and psychosocial support, which is also an important pillar alongside nutrition and wash intervention.
All right. Yeah, all right. Maybe to Isaac as well, to Dr. Isaac. How are communities in Folfa in the response and also the recovery process? And I would like you to also tell us of the long-term strategies being implemented to build the health system that is resilient enough and that promotes accountability at all levels.
Yes, thank you. You know, we have very positive community. And our communities, what they always like is just to make them orientated. And then when they catch up what the message you have, they are always very positive. And as my colleague has said about the surveillance, disease surveillance, we have also what we call community surveillance. And this is very positive. And we depend on them, especially during the response to outbreaks. Thank you.
Thank you so much. As we wind up this, any last message to the communities and also to the government?
Yeah, my last message to the communities is that we really do appreciate what the help that we get on their side when we are dealing with such issues. And also, we want also to keep them promise that we are always available at their position so that we together, because alone, as the Minister of Health, we cannot do. But with our communities, I think we can do a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dr. Emmanuel, any last message to the public?
My last message goes to the following. First is to the government of the state. It's an appreciation that the government is playing their roles in bringing together partners and also leading the task force for preparedness, response, and mitigation. Also, we have UNMIS that is also supporting humanitarian and area-based leadership. However, for our community, communities need to be informed that this flood, we have a very good memory of occurrence of flood in our community, but they have at their level, a certain capacity of resilience, and people need to really first identify the low land and also move early enough to the highest land or highest ground. Number two, also to report or be proactive in reporting a lot of illnesses, including snake bites and other public health events. And we will request them to be part and partial of our response mechanism and resilience strategy. To our health workers, is that we need to double up our effort, because I know that a lot of health facilities have been disrupted. Access to health facilities and the quality service also has been jeopardized because of the flood. So these are the messages to different stakeholders. And party, and I hope that together with the support of the Minister of Health and its partners, we will be able to overcome the impacts of flood.
Thank you, Dr. Emmanuel, and thank you, Dr. Isaac, for joining me this morning on Radio Maria's Breakfast Show. We do wish you a very good day and weekends.
Thank you.
Right, and that was our guest from Malakal. Particularly, we have spoken to Dr. Emmanuel Timothy, the state coordinator for the World Health Organization, and Dr. Isaac Kuongo Gilo, the director general of the State Ministry of Health there in Malakal.